talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now, from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Lamont says dodging a Jimmy G bullet is probably bigger than dodging the Josh McGown bullet. I wonder if that was intentional misspelling of McGown. I hope it was, because that's hilarious. He says, I feel like we won. And then has a nice little Braveheart victory gif. Good fan of good gif usage. I think I'll give that Twitter response a like. 713-780-ESPN. We'll get more into the Jimmy Garoppolo and the impact that this has, et cetera, et cetera. Let's go out to Rob. Rob's been hanging out for a little bit on hold. I'd like to get to Rob. Rob, you're in the Hive of the Killer Bees. What's up, Rob?
Hey, guys. Appreciate you taking my call. I was hoping you could shed some light on rules on the non-exclusive tag. Is it plausible for the Texans to trade down with, I guess not the Raiders anymore, they just signed a QB, but Falcons or hopefully not the Colts, get an extra couple picks, maybe a first round next year, and then sign Lamar Jackson, give up that first round pick and obviously one next year, and still be left with three first round picks in the next 2 years with Lamar Jackson? Not saying they would do it, I just didn't know rules-wise.
Right.
If that was even plausible.
The way, like, I've tried to find this on Google, the way that I under, and it's really, I haven't seen a good answer. Appreciate the call, Rob. The way that I understand it, and I'm pretty confident that I'm right, is that whenever you sign a player to the non-exclusive tag, so you have to give them a contract, player has to accept the contract, and then the other team has the opportunity to match that contract. If they match that contract, then Baltimore, in this case, just has Lamar Jackson with the contract that Lamar Jackson signed with the other team. Now, if they do not match, Baltimore then receives two first-round draft picks. The way that I understand the rule, and I've dug deep on this, it's hard to find. Oh,
ladies
boy.
And gentlemen,
should I finish answering the question?
An urgent news story.
Look at Joe just barging right in and shutting you down.
I had to do
this. This better be big.
We'll get back to it. We'll get back to it.
Jeremy.
Case Keenum.
Case Keenum.
Going where?
Houston.
Yeah!
Oh, he got his guy.
Mark Berman. Texans signed Case Keenum to a 2-year contract.
Yeah! I love Nick Caserio.
You got your jersey back.
Yeah! I'm wearing my jersey the next day I'm in studio.
So we'll see you in April.
Is there a number seven? I hope you're right. Is there a number seven on the Houston Texans roster? I am so fired up. My day just got made.
That was both of our dream scenario quarterbacks, too.
Yeah. Oh, cut Kyamie Fairbairn right now. Cut Kyamie Fairbairn.
No, it's a uniform buyout.
That's fine. Kyamie Fairbairn cannot wear number seven next year.
Right now.
I am so happy.
That's the most
I am positive so
emotion.
Happy.
Any emotion. That's the most emotion I've ever seen out of Jeremy Branham.
There's not a number 17, so I bet you Case just wears 17 because Case is a good guy. Ah, that makes me so happy.
See? For a guy that I've never seen emotion from, that is joy. That is pure, unadulterated joy from Jeremy Branham.
Man, I don't know
was
how I'm going to make it through the next
you?
Two. Yeah, absolutely. You can always interrupt me with Case Keenum news as long as it's positive.
There you go.
Man.
Well, now they can say they have two quarterbacks
that's
on their
veteran,
roster.
That's their veteran QB, though. Yeah. That's the Jimmy, like that's the veteran QB that's going to be the quarterback in the room to help out a young quarterback. You know what? You want to get really hot takey? The signing of Case Keenum is the Houston Texans drafting a quarterback in the first round. I firmly believe that.
But it's also your bridge. It's also he could potentially start right away. It's for so many reasons, it gives you so many options. And he is the big brother and the right personality type guy that can absolutely guide your young quarterback through the pitfalls of their first season in the NFL. Yeah, it's a homecoming.
Yeah.
So it makes a whole hell of a lot of sense. And for an organization that desperately needs any and every chance to get butts back in the seats too, if it brings a few more Cougs butts back in the seats.
Let's not go crazy.
I think Cougar I don't think fans Case would Keenum like to
gonna,
see Case.
They would. I don't think Case is going to sell a bunch of tickets.
I didn't say a bunch. I said a few butts in the seats, but it's a positive even on that front from a front office marketing perspective.
Can I give you the other signing real quick?
Sure.
For the Texans?
Yes, the Texans.
Oh, look at Nick Caserio, Will and Dylan, son of a gun. Woo!
The Texans are expected to sign former Patriots and Browns pass rusher Chase Winovich. The pass rusher from Michigan.
Winovich?
Yeah, he was from Michigan with the long blonde hair.
Caserio helped draft him in New England.
Oh, so there's the tie. Probably just a rotational, just like a roster piece. Like, I don't think Chase Winovich is somebody who's going to move the needle, right? Like, what are his numbers
recently?
It depends
on what they do with star player Christian Kirksey.
I heard
terms of their linebacker
him.
Room. I thought so too, and you know me. There's no heartbroken love lost there. I think he's well past James Palmer calling him Texans star linebacker in preseason.
Winovich, looking at Winovich and kind of like having a little bit of an understanding of who he was around the league, this seems to me like to be a backup defensive end guy.
He's a really like hyper energy guy.
Probably. Yeah, maybe he's a special teams wizard. I have no idea.
Depends on the money given up, but okay, fine. If it's just a more energetic veteran presence in the locker room, so be it.
I'm so fired up about Case Keenum. Like, I don't even know how to get my thoughts straight right now.
Jeez.
I really do think, though, that Case Keenum is a mentor for a rookie quarterback.
I agree.
I think that the Texans are...
He's
this is
the
a
kind
bit
of guy,
tell.
Again, unlike Jimmy Garoppolo, who we both didn't want for all the exact opposite reasons of Case Keenum, Case Keenum's happy to come home, happy to be in Houston, happy to be whatever they need him to be, and understands, hey, there's also a chance, whether it be right away or at a certain point in time, where I'm going to still play, and I'm going to be at a place where they want me. There's a variety of different things I can do, and his disposition, demeanor, and the been there, done that already in his career says it's the right fit for the right guy, and I think that it's a perfect signing for the Texans.
Yeah, because you're right. He knows his role. He's great in the quarterback room. He's a son of a coach. He lives in the Houston area. Goes to Cougar basketball games all the time. Has a winery in Galveston.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I mean, this makes too much sense.
Golfer, where he's got the weather that's conducive to golf.
Does he play a lot of golf?
Yeah.
We're gonna have to get him on the. We might have to get him out at Highland Pines.
There you go.
The Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5. I think we do. I think we do. The entire station's there tomorrow.
No, no, no.
No?
Not the entire station.
The bench and us are
there. Oh, okay.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, which I'm probably not going to be, which I'm so disappointed about because I live.
John will be there tomorrow for the bench.
I live 5 miles
away.
Where is
Lance? He was on remote today?
I don't know.
Oh. Sounded like he was on remote today.
He was on remote today.
Did it? Well, apparently we all sound like we're on remote today.
Evidently, we've got
some issues. They're working on it.
If we're being completely honest and we're peeling back the curtain.
Sup, Twitch? Can hear us?
Use Twitch. Use the app.
92.5, I think, is doing all right, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, if you're listening to us right now on 97.5 and it doesn't sound great, like, if it sounds like you're trying to dial up to American Online with the old dial-up radio internet signal, give 92.5 a shot.
Yeah, 92.5, ESPN 97.5 app, twitch.tv/ESPN975.
Yeah, so many ways to listen into your favorite show, the Killer Bees. Can I answer the non-exclusive tech question?
Yeah, please, because I got the Lamar part of it from the financials.
I think, I'm pretty confident in this, that the team that were to sign Lamar Jackson if the trade does not get, or the contract does not get matched by Baltimore, my understanding is that that team has to give up its next two first-round draft picks that is theirs, not somebody else's. Their next two first-round draft picks. So if the Texans were to sign Lamar Jackson, the way I understand it, if the Texans were to sign Lamar Jackson before April 27th draft, the Texans would have to trade their number two pick, or they'd have to give that to Baltimore. They'd have to give their number two pick to Baltimore and their 2024 first-round pick to Baltimore right away. But to the caller's point where he said if the Texans trade their number two, I believe, and if you know this, please let me know. I've been looking everywhere for this, 713-780-3776. I believe it's that team's next two first-round picks, not somebody else's. So if the Texans were to trade number two, sign Lamar Jackson, I believe that the 2024 Texans first and the 2025 Texans first would be the two sent to Baltimore.
Okay, and I know, Joe, you were looking into this last week.
That's how it works. And the one
that is how it works.
The one problem, the theory, I think, with what Rob was kind of insinuating was that the Texans trade back and then Lamar signs. But it couldn't be a draft day trade because the Ravens have 2 days to match. So if the Texans on draft day were to sign to seven, you can't then, during the draft, sign Lamar and just give up the seventh pick. Like, it has to play out, which means it would be a 24 and a 25. I've been looking for this, too. I mean, let's say there's a world where the Texans traded out of two and drafted 31st. I think they give up the Browns pick. Like, it'd be the first-rounder available.
I thought it had to be the ones that they, like, their own picks, not somebody else's.
You can't.
Oh, so yeah, that's what I'm not
you're
sure
saying
about.
You can't
I'm not
repurpose.
Sure either.
Well, once you acquire the pick, isn't it yours to do? Because you see a lot of times in trades, it's always the lesser of the two picks that the team giving up the pick can give.
I've searched everywhere for this, and I cannot find a definitive answer.
It's not like I looked, even tried to look through the CBA, and I couldn't.
Like it's I do not like, and it like I don't think that the answer exists on the internet. Like I've dug hard on this. Like I've lost some hours of sleep on this because like I wanted an answer, and I cannot find an answer. Like I personally think it's your next two that belong to the Houston. I don't think it's somebody else's. I could be wrong on that. But I just, quite frankly, don't know.
And that's something that we can continue to look into and try to figure out. From the financial standpoint, this is similar in a lot of ways with the Jimmy G thing. I don't think Lamar Jackson is the right fit. And, Joe, I think it was you and I doing the show that day that we really dug deep into this. It's just the wrong fit at the wrong time, again, for both sides. Lamar not only looking for the money and massive amounts of it, but he's also looking to be successful right out of the gates to prove he's worth it and to be in a winning situation. The roster is not that way. And now if you use, when you were talking about Jimmy G and the money that was going to be used, well, now you're going to use probably more money than you would have had to pay Deshaun Watson if it was harmonious the entire time with Watson in Houston for a guy that now doesn't have the roster that even Deshaun had when he was on the Texans to utilize once he got whatever contract you were going to give him or whatever he was playing under. It just doesn't make sense on so many different levels, and it's so twisted and bizarre. Let someone else figure that out with him and his mom doing the negotiations on one side. I'm not even sure they know what they want, but they want to start with a Deshaun Watson-sized contract. And other teams that have better rosters that are looking for someone to save the day, salvage a situation, or be the long-term solution with guys around him already ready to plug and play. It makes no sense on so many different levels that you should hope that that situation gets resolved quickly with him going somewhere else too, so that you can just move on and do what you have to do, which is continue to fortify and build the roster, continue to plan for the long term, and to try and solidify guys that are going to help you sustain winning once you get there.
I couldn't agree more. I do not want to be in the Lamar Jackson business for a variety of different reasons. Like the finances, out on that. Secondly, I don't trust Lamar Jackson long term. Like we had this conversation last week. I don't really trust quarterbacks that rely heavily on their legs.
Stevie Francis factor.
Injuries, explosiveness, like to the Francis point, sustainability in the league. Absolutely not. But Case Keenum, Houston Texan. Like I might buy season tickets to the Houston Texans. Like that's how fired up I am. A lot of people got fired up about D'Amico returning home. I'm fired up with my
when
guy,
you get him on the show?
Returning home.
When is he coming on the show?
I mean, Case Keenum, I don't know.
You don't have the cell phone ready?
Do I have Case's cell phone? Yeah. No, absolutely not. Why of course not? I don't have the cell phone number of the great Case Keenum, the greatest college quarterback of all time statistically. Why would I?
Well, first of all, because you gush all over him, he might not want to give it to you. But other than that, being around him as much as you have, you would think that you
have
that number.
I haven't been around Case that much. We've been in the same buildings, but I don't, like, I've talked to Case, I think, twice in my life. Like, we're not buds.
That makes us a lot scarier.
I know Gerard Johnson way more than I know Case Keenum.
We'll get him on, too. We'll just start lining him up.
I sent him a congratulations text, and he didn't respond. It's kind of funny. He was asking me for Final Four tickets whenever we went to Indy, and we had a conversation. Now he gets named the quarterbacks coach of the Houston Texans. Hey, Gerard, a guy that I used to hang out with a little bit. Hey, congratulations. He acts like I don't even exist.
Oh, he ghosted you,
He did. That's he ghosted terrible. Branham. Gerard Johnson ghosted Branham.
That's a negative.
Yeah.
I don't like that at all.
I actually understand. If the situation was reversed and I was the quarterback coach now of the Texans and he was some jabroni talking on a microphone, I would have ignored myself too. So no hard feelings. 713-780-ESPN. I want to talk about the domino effect of that quarterback position with the Jimmy Garoppolo news. Not so much the Case Keenum news. And also the Ryan Poles. I want Joe George, who apparently has a new nickname. We're going to have to figure out what that new nickname is.
Oh, we don't have to figure it out. It's been figured out and
well,
it's
I don't
been
know
used.
It.
I know he doesn't know, and I'm going to break it to you. I'm going to get your opinion on that.
Y'all can unveil it to me. What is Joe George's nickname? It's the Killer Beast on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. One thing that you need in your life. Look, it's March. We're going to be talking a lot about basketball from now through the end of the tournament. And then as soon as the tournament's over, playoff basketball in the NBA is right around the corner. Look, this is the season to be playing a little bit of basketball. You're going to be watching the buzzer beaters in the tournament. You're going to be like, you know what? I want to relive that. Or your kids, they're going to be like, you know what? I like this basketball thing. I want to go out and play some basketball. Well, they can't do it if they don't have a goal. And if you have a goal, it better be from Pro Dunk. They have the best basketball goals on the market, the highest quality you'll find, unlike anything else you'll find in the big box stores. They have a tempered glass backboard, gives you a true, authentic feel, really get a good feel of what you see in the arenas that you watch on TV. A breakaway rim, we're on that later. Thick steel poles, stainless steel hardware, height adjustable. You can lower it down to 5 feet. You can raise it all the way up to 10 feet. That's where that breakaway rim comes into play. Have a little slam dunk competition. That breakaway rim will keep you safe, will keep everybody from getting hurt. They also have an extended overhang. You don't have to worry about a basketball stanchion and rolling your ankle on that basketball stanchion. Some people are prone to that sort of thing. You don't have to worry about that with Pro Dunk. Their accessories are also next level. LED light kits for night play. You might want to shoot some hoops whenever it's cool or whenever you're off work or whenever your kids are out of school. Well, the LED light kits will allow for that night play that you couldn't do if you didn't have it. Backstop nets as well. You don't have to chase the basketball around. And pole pad lettering in case you want to customize your goal. You can order everything online, including the professional installation. That's my favorite part. I don't have to do anything. I can be lazy and watch basketball while the pros at Pro Dunk will come to my place and professionally install the goal at the perfect height, perfectly straight. I don't have to worry about screwing it up. Call right now to get yours, 281-351-9822, and visit ProDunk.com. That's ProDunk.com.
Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Largo says you're not a jabroni, you're our jabroni. I appreciate that. That is the nicest thing that Largo has ever said to me. Alex says Branham should go into the locker room after Texans game to ask a question to him. Hey, remember me? He wouldn't remember me. I'm just a groupie of Case Keenum.
You never called his games?
No. I've only called two U of H football games.
Okay.
Yeah. In terms of being on the broadcast.
Yeah, on the broadcast.
I did sidelines filling in for Chuck Brown once.
So wouldn't Case be a regular, just, like,
no,
see him all
I didn't,
the time.
No, I didn't. Case kind of predates me a little bit, to be honest. Now, I see him around.
And it's different in the pro game, too, where you have a lot of guys' cell phones because then you eliminate middlemen and people when you need to get them on the air or to do things for you with an organization.
Right. Yeah, he predates me. But I love him because he is the greatest college quarterback statistically of all time.
We've been through that.
And now he's in the same quarterback room with Gerard Johnson. So I love it. Now neither one of them are doing
back. They'll both ghost you.
Well, I've never had Case's number. But if you try,
he'll probably ghost you. The Texans will step in the way of that.
I don't blame him. Yeah. It's not a bad thing.
No, anyways, I'm just saying we know that because we got in trouble when I got Kenyon Green on when he was drafted.
I mean,
we didn't get in trouble, but
what are they going to do? Yeah. Tell them not get us any more guests? Yeah. Okay.
Texans didn't like it too much.
Anyways, they did not like it. What's Joe George's new nickname? Y'all been teasing me with this
the entire show. When you were out and we did Who Said It, Joe was kind of jazzed up and pumped that there was a new open to the segment, right?
To Who Said It? I'm going to have to get Michael to come in.
So he was all juiced up about it.
Did you go by yourself on Who Said It?
No.
Oh, my God.
What
are y'all going to do that?
So
they got one for five.
We only got one right. And I let Creighton make the final call on the first couple, and it didn't go well.
Yeah, that's awesome. He's deflecting.
No, I was in the ballpark again with who I thought it might be, but yeah, for another day. So, Jeremy, no, wait a minute. Here's the thing.
I just want to hear it.
Wait. No, wait. Because now he's continually in our ear. This is awesome, guys. We got a new open for Who Said It. It's great.
I hadn't even heard it.
Like that.
So he teased it before playing it?
Yeah, and he says he didn't hear it. Supposedly we're all listening to it for the first time, and here comes, out of the blue, the Stump King.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the blue corner, we have the buzziest of tandems, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham, a.k.a. the Killer Bees. And in the red corner, here to try to stump the Killer Bees, here's Joe Stump King George.
Stump King George.
Let's get ready to guess who said it.
I love that intro. That is really good. Michael Carroll is fantastic.
Stump Mitchell.
I didn't.
Stumpy. Rin and Stumpy. That.
Stump King, though? Like, I mean, that can have more than one. Like, that has Stump more innuendo.
Michael Carroll walked into the studio after and literally had to say...
I don't think it's...
Are you okay with the intro? He asked if I was mad at him.
I understand where Michael's coming from.
I agree. Because
if you call somebody a Stump King, What do you think?
Well, especially after he took George's script and just had the voice guy voice it.
No, he added
and
to
probably
script.
Was puzzled that Joe had written into a script. Call me the Stump King.
I can put. I'll send you the screenshot.
Instead of Don King, you got the Stump King.
Stump
Joe George.
Mitchell, but Ren, I mean, Stumpy.
That's not. I don't know why you're upset with that nickname. Like that's
he gave it to himself.
That's not a good nickname.
I didn't give it to myself.
It's not a good nickname.
Then he didn't want me calling him that, and so then it was just like now. And then after we lost, I was like, "Oh, you are forever now. You are forever the Stump."
Yeah. See, now I'm gonna roll with it.
Like I don't think it's a good nickname.
Well, let's just keep this rolling here because let's just go back to my first show. I was gonna my second show producing. You know, for you guys.
Which was like, yeah, the fifth day you were on the job.
It was a Friday. We were doing Who Said It. And I said, before the segment started, are there any rules? And Jeremy, what did you say? You said no.
The only rule of Fight Club is don't talk about Fight Club?
You said no. So on Friday.
Oh, my God.
I gave Joel and Patrick a Jeremy soundbite.
Oh, no. He gave. No,
Joe,
no.
Joe texted me this was going to happen, and I forgot about it, actually. Joe texted me, I think, on Friday.
Oh, look at Cutesy Pie. I'm going to text him. Yeah. It's going to happen.
Yeah. What did you text me? Let me read the exact text.
Wait. So then I'm onto that smokescreen, too. And I go, so, Joe, we're still under. We can't use Jeremy Branham, right? And he doesn't answer.
I can't. He didn't answer. That's kind of bush league.
That was bush.
That's bush league.
No,
there.
And then he goes, "Well, I don't make the rules. You said there were no rules.
No, you probably can't read it." I think that. My argument is that if I would have said yes, like yes, it can be Jeremy.
Yeah.
You would have known that it's Jeremy right away.
What was the quote that you used?
Oh, I don't remember. I'll find it.
Joe texted me at 10:46, so I was probably getting ready for the game. I can't read this because of FCC violations. He said, be ready for the griping about Who Said It. I'm using you since you're out. That was at 10:46 Friday.
Oh, really?
Into which I just went, ha, 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 ha. Like, I thought that'd be funny.
Be ready for
which
that.
I guess it was funny.
Stump? Okay. I see. I'm exactly right how I read you. Okay. I got you.
I hope that general managers and NFL executives, they overreact the same way. Because if I'm Nick Caserio and I'm seeing overreaction around the league, like we're seeing overreaction from around followers of the NFL, I'm trading out of number two. That's a great take. Who was that? That was a great take. That's a long one, though. Did you read that whole thing?
I did.
Man, that's a long one.
Yeah, Hooked on Phonics really struggled through that, too.
So who'd y'all guess? Who did you guess it was?
Pat ended up calling it, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Kick the can down the road there. Call somebody else.
I don't remember who the other deductive reasoning was down to.
It was down to John to something about, like, it would bother Lance, that take. So they went with John.
That's hilarious. Here's my one final domino effect with the Jimmy Garoppolo signing with the Raiders. This officially means Aaron Rodgers is going to either be a Jet or retire, right? Like, is there any other choice for Aaron Rodgers? It's Jet or retire. Nothing else, right?
Niners.
You still think the Niners are in play?
I think it's in play.
Wow. Okay. Yeah,
I think it's still in play.
I don't think that was in play. Like for me, it's Jets or retire. Jets or bust. I think those are the two plays for Aaron Rodgers. Now
he's
from
Chico, and he grew up a Niners fan. And now the one thing they got going against him is he holds grudges in the fact they didn't draft him in the first place. They took Alex Smith.
You think he would still hold a completely different regime?
Look what he did to his family. He completely shut out his entire family.
But that's the same regime.
In a moment's notice. He holds grudges on everything.
But, I mean, it's completely different people. Like, Lynch wasn't there.
He's
Shanahan
the grudge
wasn't
doctor.
There.
Only he's the princess of drama. I mean.
The grudge king?
Yeah, he holds grudges on. There's no doubt he might have still some kind of saltiness towards the Niners.
I don't really disagree with you, but I was just like, that's silly. It'd be stupid to hold grudges against the 49ers for that when it's a completely different regime. But if anybody would, it would be Aaron Rodgers. I mean, what are the chances Rodgers is a Jet? Like, it's at 90%, right? Like, we all think it's going to happen. How high are you on that?
I don't think it's 90%. I think there is still a chance.
I think it's 33%.
That he's a Jet?
That he's a Jet, retires, or a Packer. Because no one knows.
I think it's a certainty he's a Jet.
I don't think it's a certainty, and I think that part of it is he, one, doesn't like the fact that Mark Murphy, the president of the Packers, dumbass, went out there at the Wisconsin State Girls High School playoffs, finals, and decided to start granting interviews where he started talking about Rodgers in the past tense and basically say that he isn't our number one, the number one plan right now, to where Rodgers would go, oh, really? And he's mended fences with the GM. He and no one else likes Mark Murphy. I could see him going, oh, yeah, okay, smart guy. out there bumping your gums, I'm coming back. And I never made a decision one way or another. I decided that the Jets were a team that I would consider playing for, that I could talk to and see if how they do things made sense to me. But I think that there's still a chance that he goes back to Green Bay. I still say that he's going to play one way or the other because he doesn't want to be in the same Hall of Fame class as Brady and JJ and have all the shine that he needs for himself rubbed onto somebody else. So I think that there are other, I think there's other alternatives for him.
Todd, the show says I wouldn't give 90% to anything when it comes to Aaron Rodgers, which is a great point. Really good point. 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. So let's go to Roger real quick. Let's go out to the HRP listener line, get Roger in here. Roger, you're in the hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Roger?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Hey, you know, what are the Texans doing? Well, what are they doing?
They're signing the greatest college quarterback statistically of all time. That's what they're doing, Roger.
Oh, my God. They're going to bring them back to Keenanites. They're going to be all over the place. Oh, my God.
Why don't you like it? Like, let's be... Roger, hold on.
Is that what you're referring to in terms of what are they doing?
Yeah, like, go on. I cut you off. My bad. What were you getting to, Roger?
Yeah, I mean, they went and got Robert Woods, which is a good thing.
Was it?
But, you know, now you're getting, you know, your positional players. What are they're not spending any money. What are they doing? Are they saving off for the draft? You never know what the Texans are doing. This is what's...
Well, they avoided Jimmy G, which we wanted them to do. They got a veteran backup, which I think they needed to do. As we've been told numerous times, they only had one quarterback on the roster.
Yeah.
And they're not overspending to get guys that aren't worth overspending on to this point. I don't know that I'm upset with anything that they've done so far.
Yeah, I wouldn't have expected the Texans to be making like these tremendous splashes in free agency. Like, they know that they're still in a rebuild mode. They still know that they're probably a couple of years away from contending. They're not going to go out and spend stupid money. I do want the Texans to sign a few starters. Like, I think it's fair to Rodgers' point that they sign 2 to 3 starters in free agency, whether it's at center, whether it's a guard, whether it's one of the linebacker positions, whether it's a safety. Like, honestly, I think Caserio should sign 3 starters in free agency minimum.
I don't disagree with that.
And maybe Robert Woods is one of those guys. Robert Woods, like, I'm not going to sit here and, like, jump on the table of excitement of Robert Woods, a 30-something-year-old who's coming off a torn ACL that, quite frankly, has been a disappointment of his career. Like, I'm not going to say what a tremendous signing that was. But he was incredibly cheap. He's worth the flyer. Like, that's what Woods is. Is Woods your number 2 receiver right now? Yeah. Like, I'm fine with the Robert Woods signing. I don't think it's a huge splash like some people tend to make it out to be, but it was cheap, so whatever. Case Keenum's going to be the tutor to a rookie quarterback. They just signed Mike Boone, a backup running back, just to add to that running back room. No, they haven't made splashes yet. I don't anticipate them to make splashes, but they need to get at minimum 3
starters.
Right,
you can get starters without getting splashy starters, because that's splashy starters are where you get the sexy name, but you pay a high premium to get that name. They're not in a position where they need that name. So get some starters. Don't spend a lot of money. I like what they've done so far, because they're making the roster better than it was a year ago, and they're not having to overspend to do it. So just give it time and just relax a little
bit. And it's day one in free agency. Today is day one in free agency. 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line. You know what else is just around the corner? Astros opening day. Astros opening day is 13 shows away. We've been asking you an Astros opening day countdown question each and every show. Let's look at Jose Altuve and Jeremy Peña, the middle infield for this team. What are the expectations for the Astros double play tandem this year? 713-780-3776.
Is that a stumper from the stump?
From the stump king.
Ah!
The Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Astros opening day is right around the corner. 13 shows until Astros opening day. So today we're looking at the middle infield tandem. What are our expectations for the middle infield for the Astros? 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Which one do you want to start? You want to start with the old hand, the old Jose Altuve, or the young phenom, Jeremy Peña?
I mean, let the stumper pick it if he
wants. Age before beauty. We usually go age before beauty.
So Altuve first.
So Altuve before Jeremy Peña.
See, let the stump truck pick it.
The stump king.
Stump truck.
Give him the crown. Yeah, he's the stump king.
If you're going to keep this going, Joel, at least get it right.
I don't have to.
I don't know why you're so annoyed by it, to be honest with you.
You're just he's the stumper.
That must be what it is. Yeah. That's what he's salty. That's a good point.
Yep.
He's salty about it.
Stump Mitchell made the pick. Let's go.
Who's that?
Stump Mitchell used to be a running back in the NFL.
Really? Mm-hmm. When did he play?
I don't know. He played. Bet me on it.
No, I believe that he played. I just want you to say when he played.
I can't even remember what team,
because
but
if
I know
you
there
know
was
when
a Stump
he played.
Mitchell. Let me look it up while you go with the first one.
All right, Jose Altuve. We'll go age before beauty. We're going to look at batting average, home run, and RBIs. You can play along, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. I took a lot of grief last year for saying that Jose Altuve is not at the prime of his career. I stand by that. I don't think Jose Altuve is at the prime of his career. But Jose Altuve was unbelievable last year. Jose Altuve was great last year at the age of 32. He had 300 on the nose. He almost hit 30 home runs. He finished fifth in the MVP. I didn't think Jose Altuve would have that type of year in 2022, if I'm being completely honest. He surprised me, and he was phenomenal. Let's start with the batting average. Altuve last year, 300. He's a career 307 hitter. What does Jose Altuve do in 2023 with the new rules, the bigger bags, the shift, and the pitch clock?
Okay. So I think that the average is going to hover around the same, but I think he's probably going to come back a little bit. I think that he's going to hit 280.
Okay, I had him right around that range. I'm curious how the new rules are going to affect Altuve, because like he's way more pull happy now than he used to be, but doesn't hit like a lot of ground balls into the shift, things like that.
Right.
The pitch clock was like something that
he loves to fiddle with his batting gloves between pitches.
Now, I think every player is going to get used to the pitch clock, you know, a month into the season, but does that month, maybe a bad month, lead to the overall average? I think it does. I'm going to say that Jose Altuve, at the age of 33, hits 284. I think he's going to hit a little bit under 285. I'll go 284 for Jose Altuve.
Stump doesn't have much wiggle room in terms of the difference between the two of them.
Are you calling that to Joe or Jose Altuve?
Good question, because I think we're the same height. I'm going 292.
Not same weight. Stump is sturdier.
I think he still has a good year.
Which stump are we referring to?
There's only one stump.
He's calling me
it's
fat.
It's the Stump King. No, I'm not. I'm calling you the Stump King.
There's no way Joe weighs more than Jose Altuve. No chance.
Yeah.
No chance.
I think
he's pretty. He's pretty young.
No way.
I think there's a chance.
Jose Altuve is muscle, like all muscle, and muscle weighs more than fat. Not that Joe has a lot of fat.
I
don't know.
Can we do this?
Right,
how much do you weigh?
I have no idea.
How much?
What does Altuve weigh? What's his playing weight?
I mean, like, this can't be right.
200?
This Wikipedia lists him.
I don't think Altuve's 200.
Pro Baseball Reference lists him at 165.
Joe's weight.
I don't think he's 165. I don't think so. Wait, let me look at the Wikipedia on Jose Altuve. They list him not a weight on Wikipedia.
I'm telling you. Stump wins.
I don't think that.
All right.
I don't think that Joe's heavier than Altuve.
All right,
Altuve.
I think he hits 292 this season.
292?
Yeah.
Okay, I hope you're right. I hope you're right. We're all
actually. We say 292.
Yeah,
that's realistic.
I think actually the pitch clock might help him.
Why?
He's so aggressive. You know that first pitch of every game. That like these guys are going to have such less time to get ready from the 30 seconds. Like,
yeah, but it's advantage pitcher after the first pitch. You know he jumps all over first pitches. So then after that, now you should have the advantage because he's still going to be. Somewhat overzealous.
Maybe that's true, yeah. It'll be interesting to see, but like, I think 292. So
292 for Jose Altuve.
So it's between 292 and – so the average is what, about 285, 287?
Math on the fly.
For the consensus?
I'm using my calculator.
The range, though, what did you say? 282? So the range was 282 to 290.
Yeah, I said
we have him hitting 285 this season.
I would take a 285 average for Jose Altuve. It's 15 points down from what it was a year ago, but I'm good with 285 from Jose Altuve.
27 bombs.
At the top of the order.
I think 27 bombs. I think he takes a step back on home runs, too.
I mean, that's one less home run.
But he had 30.
A tremendous step. He had 28.
Well, I thought he had 30 last year.
No, he had 28.
Okay, well then I'll say 26 bombs.
See, I still think he's going to keep the power because he's so jacked and heavy with muscle. I don't think he's going to hit more than he hit last year.
I don't either. That's why I'll go back. I'll regress a little bit, but not much.
Yeah.
The lineup doesn't really. He's batting leadoff, so he's not going to really capitalize as much.
Well, he's going to get more at bats.
True, but I'll say 26.
I'm going to reverse. Oh, you just went down.
I did.
You went from 27 to 26.
I did,
was about
because
to say
I thought
26.
He hit 30.
I was going to reverse Price's Right you and say 26.
Okay. Well, you you still can.
So
there's
now,
nothing that says
yeah, I know.
Speaking
but I
of rules, unless Stump changed the rules, I don't think there's rules here. You can do that.
You know, I'm gonna reverse this. You went 26.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with normal prices, right? You and I'm gonna go with 27. Okay. Last year he only played in 141 games. I'm knocking on wood that Jose Altuve is gonna stay healthy this year, not laying on the injured list. It's not wood. He's gonna play at least 150 games, so he's gonna get right near where he hit home run. I'm gonna normal prices, right? You 27 home runs for Jose Altuve.
I had it at 24. I think the power dips a little bit this year, but not much. So we'll average that out to 26.
Didn't dip for Biggio. Those Crawford boxes are very, very close. All right, RBIs. Jose Altuve. Last year, Altuve, even though he hit 28 home runs, knocked in 57 runs. How many RBIs do you think Jose Altuve will have?
What, did he have 57, you said?
He had 57 a year ago.
I think he has slightly more. I think it's a better lineup. I think he has 60.
Okay, 60 RBIs. It is a better lineup at the bottom of the order. Still not very good. But if I'm knocking on this fake
more
wood.
More at-bats, more chances to get guys on base.
If I'm thinking more games, things like that, I'll go higher as well. How many RBIs did you say?
60.
I'm gonna price this right again. 61 RBIs for Jose Altuve.
Yeah, I have it at 70.
Ooh, man, how's he driving in 70 runs?
I just think with Abreu at 7 or Pena at 7 or whoever it is there, I think you'll get more consistent play from center field.
Yeah.
So, yes, Maldonado's still there to hit into a bunch of double plays. But, like, I mean, look, Corey Lee's playing pretty well, so maybe we see a better bat when Maldonado's out. So I think they're going to go up this year. So I have it at 70, so we'll call it 65 RBI. So our Altuve prediction for 2020.
Hold on real quick. If yeah. Altuve gets to 70 RBIs, the Astros offense is great. Great.
Well, I think it's going to be.
Okay. No, so, I hope you're right. That's what I'm saying.
So 284. 26 home runs, 65 RBIs for Altuve this year.
Do you take 284, 26 home runs, uh-huh. How many RBIs?
65.
Do you take that from Jose Altuve? 713-780-ESPN. What's your prediction of Jose Altuve's stat line this year? 713-780-3776. Let's do it with Jeremy Pena on the other side. And also, does Altuve take a step back at all? And how much of a step forward does Jeremy Pena take? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
All right, we looked at Jose Altuve's numbers. Killer Bees stat line in 2023 was, what was it again, Joe George?
285.
26 home runs, 65 RBIs. Yep.
Do you take that for Altuve? 713-780-3776. How about the Jeremy Pena side of this conversation? What does Jeremy Pena's batting average look like in 2023? Coming off a rookie year in which he hit 253 and was on fire in the playoffs.
I think that he... I want to say he's going to... I would like to think that people that are expecting the ALCS and World Series MVP for a full season need to kind of get a reality check.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's still going to have some growing pains. I still think there's work to do, but I think that he learned enough by what he went through that I think he can hit 260.
Yeah, see, the issue kind of here, too, is that, you know, last year Pena played 136 games, had a trip to the IL, maybe more than one. I remember the collision as well. He had two trips to the IL.
How can you forget the collision?
Yordan Alvarez out there. Thought we were going to put him 6 feet under.
He's
a little soft.
There you go.
Jordan Alvarez is a little bit soft. But, the, you know, 136 games that influence the batting average. Batting average is an average stat. Might influence more the home runs, the RBIs, things like that. Pena does have a hole in his swing. Like, I mean, Pena with the outside breaking ball, swing and miss. He's doing the World Baseball Classic, too.
His own teammate, like Luis Garcia, it's mm-hmm. Astros on Astros crime at the World Baseball Classic. Luis Garcia just throwing straight sliders outside yeah. to Pena, and then Hector Neris nearly killed Jose Altuve.
Good thing he's short. It's a good thing Jose Altuve is short because he might
thing
have
was
killed him.
Right on his chin.
That's an interesting meet and greet when they get back in
was in
the Astros camp.
Was Hector Neris trying to establish dominance in the Houston Astros clubhouse? 713-780-3776.
Or was he exercising stupidity at its finest?
I'm going to go with lack of command
yeah,
as my final answer.
That should be the final answer.
I don't think Pena is going to have like this massive jump in batting average. I think Jeremy Pena, quite frankly, I think is going to be around a 255, 260, like lifetime hitter. I think that's who he is. He's going to be a guy who doesn't hit for tremendous average. He's going to hit for power. The area that I really really want him to get better is drawing walks. Like the 290 on base percentage when you're hitting 253 is very disappointing. He needs to get better. And like even if he doesn't get better at being able to put bat on ball to that outside pitch, spit on it. Spit on it.
Yeah, he's got to get better at killing nasty pitches, and he's also got to get better in terms of his approach at bat to at bat, right? Because a lot of times we see him just overzealous when he gets in the box, and then he's chasing really bad breaking pitches. And the breaking pitch was his really bugaboo for a lot of the year.
Yeah, that to me, play discipline to me is where Jeremy Peña, if he wants to be like take a huge step forward, that's the area Absolutely. Of improvement that Jeremy Peña has to take. I don't think that Peña is going to take a huge jump in terms of batting average. I'll call it 261. For Jeremy Peña.
So you're just going to price this right, Joel, the whole time.
Did he do 260?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that. Yeah, 261 for Peña.
I went 257, so I think it goes a little bit lower than that.
Yeah.
I think we see the big jump for Peña in year three when Michael Brantley is gone.
Exactly.
And Jeremy Peña is batting second. When we talked about the ideal lineup, it's like he's not going to have that protection. If he was batting second this year and he was getting more fastballs, like maybe we would see just like a better average.
Plus, I think he's going to finally find the balance, too, between pacing yourself in the regular season and also improving while you go. And then also realizing that not every postseason is going to be what he did a year ago, but that if you can up it a little bit and amp it up for those times when it means the most, that you can really create a special legacy for
that's
yourself.
Carlos.
Yeah. So, well, that's what I'm saying. It's following somewhat of that Carlos Correa mold. And being able to just get the understanding of the balance of the regular season and then the ability to kind of ramp it up in the playoffs for a smaller period of time where it means more. And I think that you're right. In year three, I could see him kind of figuring things out a little bit more. But for this year, I think we're still going to see some struggles in the regular season.
I think Joe's point's the best point. Like where he's hitting in the batting order. Like I put where he's hitting in the batting order way more than like trying hard. Because like if you hit second in front of Yordan versus hitting seventh in front of Chaz McCormick, that's a massive difference. So I think it's a really good point with the batting average.
Freaking stump.
Where are you at with the homers with Jeremy Peña? Last year as a rookie, we noticed his power pretty early.
Mm-hmm.
Finished with 22 home runs in his rookie year in 136 games.
I think the league has seen him now. I think that there are more people that know more about Jeremy Peña from an approach standpoint and the things we were talking about, how he treats his at-bats, and pitchers are going to obviously use that as a tool. And I don't think he's going to he may see better pitches, but I think that teams know what they're going to throw him a little bit more than they did a year ago. I think that goes down. I think Jeremy Peña, is, no matter how much he was in the Curls for the Girls camp this offseason to get the guns built up, I think he hits 19.
Wow. Wow. If Jeremy Peña hits less than 20 home runs, that's a disappointing sophomore year.
I think it's part of the adjustments in the regular season. I think he hits 19 home runs.
Again, I think Peña's probably – I hope he plays more games. Like, this is a huge indicator on the counting stats is playing games. I think Peña's going to hit more home runs than he did a year ago. His power is his game. I think his offensive approach is, I'm going to sacrifice a little bit of average for some power. Where he hits in the lineup is a factor here as well. I think Peña goes up with the home runs. I'll call it 26 home runs for Jeremy Peña in 2023.
I got it at 24, so we're averaging it out to 23 home runs.
Okay, how about the RBIs? How many RBIs does Jeremy Peña have in 2023?
I think the opportunities that what did he have last
63.
Year? So he had 63 a year ago, and I think the opportunity is going to be there down in the bottom part of the lineup where you got a lot of really good hitters that he's going to have some chances to knock some more runs in. I'm going to say he goes up on that one. I'll say 67.
67 RBIs for Jeremy Peña. This goes back to the, like, are the Astros better offensively? We think that they're going to be. Abreu over Yuli Gurriel is an upgrade there. You hope that everybody stays healthy. I think Bregman's going to have a better year than he did overall last year, kind of still coming back from the injuries. He's going to have Jose Abreu in front of him in some form or fashion if we think that Peña's hitting seventh. So I think the RBIs will go up as well. I'll call it 74 RBIs for Jeremy Peña.
You didn't price this right, any of them.
What did you do? What did you say?
67.
Oh, I went way above you, yeah. I think higher of Peña than you do. Maybe it is the biceps.
81.
Wow.
I just think, like, that's how good I think this lineup's going to be.
I mean, you're telling a story. You're telling a story of what you think the Astros lineup is going to be.
Yeah, like, while like I have his average not going up a ton, his home run's going up a little bit, I just think there's going to be so much more guys on base for him that you're just going to see the numbers and that category explodes. So I've got it's a big jump for me. So 74. So Jeremy Pena predictions from the Killer Bees, 259, 23 home runs, 74 RBIs.
You take that year for Jeremy Pena?
I think most people will be disappointed, but I think it's pretty good.
I think, realistic baseball fans in year two of a career says at the shortstop position, you take that and run with it and say, that's fine with me with the rest of this lineup and how capable it is. I'm good with that.
Here's where I will this is going to be a caveat. This is a caveat for me because I'm in love with Joe's point that he made, the Stump King.
Of course you are.
If Jeremy Pena is primarily batting seventh in the batting order, I absolutely take that. The line that we predicted for Jeremy Pena. Absolutely
that's
take
where
that.
I'm assuming that's where he's going to hit.
I do too. Now, we're hearing like Michael Brantley just reported back to camp today, personal reasons why he was gone. Dusty Baker saying opening day is like very much in question because he missed some time, wasn't doing baseball activity, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If Jeremy Pena plays more than half of his games batting second as opposed to seventh,
changes things.
That's where I'm going to say that those numbers are a bit of a disappointment. Because if he's hitting in front of Yordan, Tucker, Bregman, Abreu, he's behind Altuve, and that's the line that he gives me, that's a disappointment. If he's leading off your bottom of the order, 7-8-9, with either Chaz McCormick or Jake Myers behind you, with Martin Maldonado behind you, I absolutely take that line. But if he's batting second, I'm not going to be comfortable with that, if I'm being quite honest.
No, that's exactly the factor that has to factor in. I'm making all the assessments and judgments that I'm making based on
hitting. And I think he will hit seven.
Lower in the lineup. If he moves up to two, now I have to expect those numbers to jump up. And if they don't, you're right. Then we have every right to be critical because that's where he flourished in the playoffs a year ago. That's where he said he wants to be. And so if he's hitting that high, seeing better pitches in the lineup, and he produces at that level, I think everybody should be a little disappointed.
I think, too, that like we look at this very, very offensive-centric. Jared Payne is one of the better defensive shortstops in the American League, won the Gold Glove last year in the American League. Like, if that's the baseline numbers you're telling me from an offensive, the offensive side of things, when you have a shortstop who has Gold Glove caliber defense, you can do far worse than that. Like, those are good offensive numbers whenever you throw in a Gold Glove defensively. We've seen Adam Everett enough in this city to think that, hey, if you're giving me around a 255 batting average with around 25 home runs, and then you're one of the top three defensive shortstops in the American League, that is a huge benefit to this Houston Astros lineup.
Yeah, no, I think that, again, when you talk about everything that we see in what the Astros lineup was a year ago to what we see now, there's every reason to believe it's going to be a more prolific offense because of the fact that Michael Brantley is assuming when he comes back, he's going to be healthy.
Right.
Michael Brantley's a 300 hitter, and that's one thing that we know. He might have lost some pop, but Michael Brantley and Jose Abreu added to a lineup that already was pretty damn good. The biggest concern you have is health, because with health not a part of the equation, you've added better hitters to a lineup that was already a good hitting team. And you look at it and say, with the elimination of the rules of the shift and the different things that really are even more advantageous to this lineup, maybe more so than any team in baseball, there's every reason to believe this is going to be a more prolific and more productive and a better offensive lineup.
713-780-ESPN. Every Monday at 2, it's our Mailbag Monday. You can ask the Killer Bees whatever you want to ask. 713-780-3776. You can ask if Blankers is having a heart attack. You can ask me if I lost my mind when the Texans signed Case Keenum. I did. You can ask Joe George's weight. You can ask us whatever. Sports, non-sports.
He doesn't know.
713-780-3776. Our Mailbag Monday. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.